Hello and welcome to the Spirit Studios podcast. My name is Al. I'm a tutor here at Spirit Studios. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking with Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Afternoon. Drew is a third year music production student, and you are the singer, frontman, guitar player for Manchester band Rosellas.
Yeah, man.
Not the Rosellas. Yeah. Rosellas. Yeah. And you guys are preparing to go on tour.
Yeah, man. We are. We're starting a tour in mid-March, doing a string of dates down south, like London, Southampton, and then we're going up through the Midlands, Birmingham, Sheffield, up into like Newcastle, finally getting up into Scotland as well.
Is it the first time you've
Yeah, we were on tour with a band called Star Sailor in September, just gone, and we played Scotland for the first time ever up there, and it was mint. I love Scotland. So I said to our promoter, I was like, when we have a headline tour, get us in there, man.
What was it about playing in Scotland that really spoke to you?
For me, Scotland's always had a really close place to my heart because of my family. I don't actually have any family that have been from there, but ever since I can remember, we used to go up to Fort William every year and go hiking around like the glens. And when my grandma passed away, we sort of stopped going. And I've since been up there with my mates and my missus and that, and it's just a beautiful country. And music that does well in Manchester, you know, typical kind of guitar music and all that, is bound to do well like up in Glasgow, because they're all just rock and roll mad heads. They love it. So I want to really try and like tap into that.
Yeah.
So we've got an Edinburgh date, a Glasgow date, and then back down to Manchester for the big one, Sold Out Academy. And I'm going to be working like in between as well and rehearsing. So it's not like we can just book the whole month off and go mad. Do you know what I mean? You still got to pay the bills, man.
So this was something I was going to ask about, because this third year for you, alongside the tour, you're also working on the major project,
yeah,
which is part of the final year degree show. In fact, we just had the class.
Yeah,
we did. Archive spec, getting that sorted.
Lovely,
love it. How are you feeling about that show? Can you tell us a bit about what you've got planned for it?
Good, man, good. And I think the fact that it's fallen in the middle of the tour is interesting for us, because you'll know from the conversations we'd have about it that the whole ethos I'm going for with that show is that it's not just a normal Rosellas set.
Yeah,
I've written three tunes to be played at that show, and talking about, you know, with you, the influence that people like Ben Howard and Pink Floyd and the War on Drugs have had on me, they always make use of like instrumentals and segues and, you know, big little psychedelic breaks and all that. I'm aiming for that set at Band on the Wall to be entertaining for us as players, but also showcase a different side of not only my writing, but the other lads in the band's inputs and their playing and stuff like that. Whereas the rest of the tour, we're just going to be doing the same, you know, heavy bangers set night after night after night. It gives us a chance to kind of be like, all right, there's something a bit different here. Let's just decompress a bit and try and go about it a different way. So I'm very much looking forward to it, and I'm feeling confident with it.
Great.
I think it's going to go well. It's funny because that week, that Wednesday is the degree show, and then the night after that it's Newcastle, the night after that is Edinburgh, the night after that is Glasgow.
That's the way to
do
it.
4 days back to back, man. And I'm driving them as well. I've got to drive the car,
so
I'm going to be knackered, man. It's what it is, though.
So you're talking a bit there about then the sound, and you can use the... You can use in the major project to maybe explore stuff that you might not normally do or focus on with the band. How would you describe the sound of the band typically?
Well, I think whenever I talk to anyone about it, the main phrase that I always use is guitar music. Do you know what I mean? Because there's some elements of rock and roll in there. There's some elements of indie in there. But the key thing that we have that I think most other bands don't is we've got an absolutely brilliant piano player. And he doesn't just play piano, you know, he'll do strings and synth and all that. But on our big, heavy, rocky numbers, where me and you and the other songwriter, you know, we were brought up listening to like The Verve, Oasis, Smith, Stone Roses. So, you know, it's very much Manchester sounding. But then you throw a lad on there that can slap some Elton John-esque keys on top, and it just thickens the sound out.
Yep.
And, you know, I always kind of say at gigs, I leave it to other people to say whether it's like nothing they've ever heard of. Because, you know, there's so many bands that come around and they're like, we're the best. You've never heard of anything like this before. Da-da-da. And then half the time it's just pants. But people actually come up to us and say, like, your sound is interesting. It's not just one dimensional. It's not just fast paced indie guitar tunes about your bird breaking up with you. Do you know what I mean? We try and we try and think about writing about interesting themes and using interesting instrumentation. And the fact that this major project is kind of solely focused on that, I think naturally that's going to now bleed in to our set. Like, you'll see at Academy, the way we're going about that set, we've got like a big intro that we kind of walk on stage to, and the first three songs are joined together like seamlessly. We just want to go like bang, 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 chat to the crowd a little bit, and then we'll have like a little section in the middle where we bring it down, and all these little instrumental sections and all that. We're going to try and make it like a bit of a War on Drugs show, but it's also got the Rocky Oasis kind of underlying theme.
So that's like the foundation.
Yeah.
Is that come about through the stuff you were exploring for the major projects? Is that a concept that you've had in mind anyway, and now's a chance to try it?
I'd say it's always been there a little bit. The spark has always been there, but this major project has sort of been a catalyst to speed that up and bring it to the forefront, because you've given me a deadline to be like, right, I need something interesting done by this date. So it's kind of given me an excuse to be like, right, well, I've always had these ideas about blending stuff together. Like, me and Ewan have had countless conversations about Floyd and what they do at their shows, and we both love psychedelic music, but we're very aware that if we want to be a big selling indie rock band, you can't go too much into that field, you know what I mean? Just take little bits of it here and there.
Yeah.
So we've always sort of done it a little bit in our sets, but now it can become a main focus, because the major project, the Grease show, is going to be like the trial by fire.
Yeah.
If it goes well, it's like, right, we can do that again. We know what we're doing now.
When you started, you know, Rosellas have been going longer than you've been at Spirit for.
So you're already
working on this stuff, you know, prior to coming here. So what was it that led to you making the decision to say, I'm going to study music production further?
I think I've always, in the early days when I was, I used to do like a little bit of solo stuff. That's how I first met the boys. They were sort of like my backing band. And it was very short-lived, because we all realised very quickly that everyone had something to offer. And I didn't like being the Drew Selby show with everybody else behind, and respectfully the other lads didn't even. I was like, yeah, you know, let's just make a band and all go into it ourselves. But from a young age at high school, I was like learning garage band and all that stuff. I had a great music tech teacher at high school that kind of put the time in to nurture that with me. Like, I had little one-to-one sessions with him and that, and he kind of aided the move from garage band to Logic. And then I got Logic at home and just started self-producing more and more and more. And then when I realised that I could write tunes that were half decent, and I had found another lad that could write tunes that was half decent, I was like, right, that's all sorted now. I can play, I can write. How do I become a better producer? Mm. And it's always been a bit of an end game for me. Like, no matter how much money or living I make from the band, great. I always want to be in a position where I can record other people when I'm older. Maybe when I'm retired, or if the band fails or whatever, I want to fall back on a career where I can help other people realise their musical potential. Mm. In order to do that, I need to know how to operate a studio. I need to know how to produce tracks. I need to know the general running order of things, how to get into that industry. And before I came here, I was clueless with a lot of that. And the knowledge that I've got from working on studio-related stuff, I now... with Rosella's producer, Oliver Shillito, I go to other studios with him and record other bands, and I'm kind of like an intern for him at the moment, do you know what I mean? And I'm starting to make a bit of money and a bit of a name for myself with working with these smaller bands. And like, for one of my projects, I've got some of my mates who had some demos for the Career Focus with John Radford.
Yeah.
And I just said to them, like, lads, I'll record your EP for you. So I'm sort of starting to stop focus on just self-producing Rosella's things, letting that kind of do its own thing over there, but now branching out into how can I record other people.
Mm.
And it's cool, because you get ideas put in front of you, and you realise very quickly, as a producer, being in a band, you'll think that all your ideas are mint, and then you'll just kind of get a resounding no. And it's like that first no, it's like, maybe it wasn't that good.
Is this a suggestion you might have made to the band?
Yeah, and it's kind of, you've got to develop that people skill, don't you, as a producer? You've got to realise that ideas can be put forward and rejected, and it's a very, you know, it ebbs and flows all the time, doesn't it? Whereas in a band, it's a bit different. If you're the songwriter and you produce some of it, you kind of just go to the boys like, right, this is how it sounds. And then they'll kind of go, all right, what about this? It's a bit more linear.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're producing for someone else, you've got to be able to be a sponge and soak up everyone's ideas. So.
Yeah. Obviously, you're studying in Manchester. Was it ever a consideration to study elsewhere and move elsewhere? Was it always going to be?
It was always going to be Manchester. I love this city, man. I feel at home wherever I go here. Do you know what I mean? And I just, I respect the fact massively that trying to be a band in Manchester, you're standing on the shoulders of giants. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not for a second going to suggest that I'm ever going to eclipse anything they did. But if I can just feel like I've written a song that was half as good as the first time I heard Champagne Supernova or something like that, it's the identity that Manchester has, and it comes through the music for me.
Great.
And, you know, I've been a fan of Man United ever since I was born, and I played football all my life, and everything, all my family are from Manchester, everything is just rooted here. I've never felt the need to move down to London or move elsewhere.
Have you got a favourite venue in Manchester?
Maybe not a favourite, but the one that I've always wanted to play. I worked on a bar at Manchester Arena for like 3 years. I hated it, absolutely hated it. I love the people I work with, but my God, you don't know stress like it until Drake comes and plays there. But I've always thought, sort of said to myself that once I've played that venue, because I work there right at the bottom of the food chain, and it's, you know, the biggest one in town, I think once I've done that, I'll be happy. Even if in other cities we only ever do 200, 300, 400, 500 caps, if we do that, I'll be buzzing because, you know, I've seen Liam Gallagher there, I've seen The Verve there. I think my favourite gig venue to go to is Castlefield Bowl.
Great, yeah.
I've played loads of little decent ones, like Band on the Wall's great, Night and Day is great, but every time I've been Castlefield Bowl, like, I've seen James there, Paolo Nutini, and I think it's just a dead cool venue, tucked away in the city with, you know, like little Colosseum-esque steps, and that's cool.
Was that the one with all the visuals and stuff that you were drawing ideas from?
It actually wasn't, but it was that gig that I went to was my introduction to Paolo. But then I went and saw him this year at Victoria Warehouse because the album he's just brought out last night in the Bittersweet is my favourite album of like the last 5 years. Yeah. It's phenomenal. And went with a couple of mates there, and he's gone for this whole kind of rebrand as like a little bit psychedelic, a little bit more guitar focused. His guitarist is very similar to Adam Granduccio. Uses a lot of similar type of effects. And the visuals he had behind him were, you know, the album cover for My Bloody Valentine, that like pink one, there's Only Shallow or something, I think it's called. Visuals like that sort of going on that were just like whirling around and all that. And I found myself just staring at that for the whole gig, like not even looking at him. And the music was just kind of like absorbed into you just because you were looking at that. And for me, that was kind of like the moment I realized the power of visuals. Because I've been to countless like DJ sets and all that. Like, I've seen Bicep a few times where visuals is a huge element of it. But to see, and obviously it captivates you there because you're just hearing the pulse constantly and you're dancing and you're drinking and whatever else. But to see visuals on the back of guitar music, because I've never seen Floyd, you know what I mean? Because I'm too young. I imagine that's what it was like to see the visuals on the back of guitar music and have that same impact. I was like, wow, yeah, need to tap into that, man. Need to try that. The important thing for me is making sure that at Rosella's gigs, people can hear little bits of influence and attach themselves to it. But then there's enough originality in what we do that it's not a stone cold copying because you're destined to doom there. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're never going to get anywhere because you can't just follow in someone else's footsteps so precisely. So I think we're getting there with our sound. I don't think our sound has reached its pinnacle yet. I think it's far better than it was 2 years ago, but I can see it growing a lot more. Do you know what I mean? We're finding out what works, what doesn't work, what gets people going, what gets us going as writers. And I think, you know, by the time we get that debut album out and it hits number one and we headline Manchester Arena, that'll be the day that I'll be happy with the sound.
To finish up then, speaking of your sound, we were talking about the track before, but we're going to play a little bit of one of your tracks. Could you give us a bit of background about what we're going
to
hear?
Yeah, so this is a track called Feels Like Yesterday, which I wrote to be part of the set for the major project. Because like I said before, we're going for a underlying theme of, you know, acoustic guitar and instrumentals and segues and all this cool stuff. So I wrote this track, sent you like a demo with MIDI drums and that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you just sit at home and do that, and got the keyboard player to layer some on. And then for one of the modules at the start of this year, I was able to record it up in Spirit with a real drum kit, proper grand piano, you know, U87s and Coles, man, it sounds glorious. So it's probably the mix that shows where I'm up to the most at this point. I'm happy with it, I'm proud of it, and yeah, it's going to get used in that major project degree show.
Excellent. Cheers, Drew, thanks for chatting with me.
My pleasure, man, thank you.
Nice one.
If you'd like to learn more about Spirit Studios or find any more information on the courses that we offer, then please visit us at our website at spiritstudios.ac.uk.